WPRB HD3 Princeton.
Now, back to more of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells.
Plant Exchange.
Yes, the Plant Exchange. I'm glad that you reminded me. And Kevin Bacon. We have to talk about him, too. Okay. But first, we're going to go talk to Sue from Edison. Hey, Sue.
Hi, Peggy. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you very much. Yesterday, I did go on Route 27 in Kendall Park over there, and I did buy beautiful, delicious, fresh strawberries. So maybe they did come up from South Jersey. Maybe they weren't from his own farm around here. But, boy, they were good. Delicious.
Well,
real fresh.
That's
nice.
The main thing, that they were good,
yeah,
right?
Oh, they were good. Yeah, so they're not ready here yet.
Soon, and maybe not, you know, right here, but if they're ready in South Jersey, Central Jersey won't be far behind. So
we won't be far behind
any minute. Yeah. And he may have them. You know, they do a variety of things to get them to ripen up sooner. They may have put them under some kind of tunnel to get them to
row crop cover.
Yeah, row crop cover that can speed up the process. So it's possible. I'm not saying for sure it was or it wasn't, but farmers are pretty tricky. They do a lot of things to...
It's out of necessity. We're not being tricky. We're trying...
Tricky in a good way.
You can pack straw around them or something to keep the rows insulated if they're on plastic.
Any kind of old-school technology is still good.
Did you interpret tricky as being bad?
Well,
no.
It was your tone.
It was my tone. Okay.
They definitely taste different than the ones in the stores. These are not sitting on these were not sitting on trucks for 2 weeks. They're just delicious. Well, yeah, you could see they're all fresh.
My husband, Tommy, went to school with a gentleman, a really nice guy named Michael Schnurr. Michael Schnurr.
Don't they own Thomas Wheat?
Yes, they do.
I know them. I know them for years.
Yeah, they're planning on coming to the Plant Exchange, which is kind of fun.
Oh, no kidding!
Yes,
they're gonna give me a ride.
They went down to see Tommy's band play in Seaside, and they brought us a really big box of chocolate covered strawberries. They were,
isn't that nice?
Oh, they were so good. I did not get to that show. I was so upset that I did not know they were coming, and I was not up to getting down there that night. They were so good. But they're coming to Plant Exchange. Are you coming?
That is tremendous. I'm going to try. I have to find out your address again.
Okay, well, I don't like
I'll
to give
get
that.
Get it from Andy?
Yes.
I don't blame you.
Yes, you can get that from Andy. But since we've got you on the air and we're talking about it, let me do a quick overview. It's Saturday, the 27th, and it's from noon to about 4. And there's no charge for this. People can bring plant material. They can bring garden gnomes. They can bring pots. They can bring...
TJ says no garden gnomes.
No. You can bring garden gnomes if you wanted that. If you have a garden gnome that needs a home.
I think we deserve to live in a gnome-free society at this point. But it's your Plant Exchange if you accept garden gnomes.
Okay.
No matter how disgruntled or weird looking they may be.
Any kind of thing that people might use in the garden or, you know, think could be useful, there will be a table for hard goods. There'll be all kinds of tables. If you're bringing a lot of stuff, I ask that you bring another table because the tables tend to get so full, their stuff overflows onto the ground. Vases, you know, people brought a lot of vases last year, and some were left, and I just take the leftover vases, and I go down to the local florist, and I give them to them so they don't get wasted.
Oh, wow.
Hey, how about, because your driveway situation, if anybody has anything heavy, bring yourself some sort of collapsible cart or a four-wheel cart wagon if you plan on hauling in a lot of material or hauling out. I know you have parking across the street and next door, but you've got some grass between the driveways, and so that might be useful.
I do have a cart, a wagon, and a wheelbarrow that I make available, so there will be some help with that, but that's a good idea also. So, and the other thing is everyone is asked to bring food item to share and some kind of finger food because I don't want to deal with silverware and plates. So those little hot dogs wrapped in something or
Italian chicken maybe? You said something about that earlier.
And so chicken wings would be okay or grapes cut into smaller bunches or cheese cubes or cookies. Last year we just had so many desserts that it was kind of insane. So, but that's what's happening on the 27th. And bananas even. Bananas would be good. And then the banana peels we could feed the chicken. So
Jersey fresh bananas?
Doesn't
I
have
don't
to
know.
Be Jersey fresh bananas, but you're allowed to have bananas. People eat bananas.
Okay.
They're ganging up on me, Sue. They're ganging up on me.
Bring the Jersey mangoes out then, too.
So,
So
is there anything? Did you have a question for me?
Yeah, you know what? I planted a lot of mint last year, a chocolate mint. I don't see it, so I'm worried. I bought all yesterday. I bought strawberry mint, chocolate mint, regular. I use mint in teas, a lot of it. Do you think I should put it in the ground again? Usually mint spreads. Do you think it was the varieties or something else that went on last year? My thyme came back, my oregano, all that, but I don't see the mints. I'm a little worried. I don't know if deer ate them or, like, what happened.
Interesting that you should say that, because I had three kinds of mints that were in the garden last year, and only one came up.
Uh-oh.
So,
what do you think that was from?
I think that the heat from last summer probably just stressed everything.
Oh.
It wasn't robust enough after the long, hot summer to make it through the winter. That's my guess, because I think that happened to a lot of other things in addition.
Mint can...
I was watering like crazy. I lost a couple of azaleas even with the watering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mint can tolerate some shade, can't it?
Mint is very, very tough. So
get them out of the heat, if you got a little bit of shade...
Might be enough to...
I could put some under the fig tree, maybe.
I had
like
it in
a little
jar.
Shade.
I'd cut some back, and then about 3 days ago, it's already developing roots in a little mason jar on the windowsill in my kitchen. Now, that gets about half sun throughout the day. So, I mean, I would imagine I can still pull mint off of there, and at some point I can put this in a container and put it right on the side steps of my house, not necessarily the front steps. You know where I mean, because there's two doors in, the actual front door and then the side door that gets better light, which is the door we go through.
So maybe planting it in a little bit of shade. But you know what, Sue? I really like having mint year-round. I really do.
I do, too.
I like it to take a couple big sprigs and just put it in a big pitcher of water and just let it seep out so you have mint water. It's flavored water, no calories, and tastes really good, and I really enjoy that. The one mistake I think people make with that is they cut up the leaves and put the leaves in, and then you go to drink it, and you go, blup, 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 because you get all the leaves in your mouth. So to use the whole branches, you get the flavor without having to deal with the little bits of leaves. But I'm going to suggest that in addition, you make a big pot of different kinds of things, of different kinds of herbs. Make yourself an herb garden, and then you can...
herb pot.
Yes. And then you can have that
And then I can bring that in the fall?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, I brought one of the chocolate and strawberry mints in the house in my window garden box. I have a kitchen where I have a box that has, so I do put things in there, but it's so tempting to put some in the ground thinking you'll have it for the next year. You know, so easy, but it wasn't so easy.
I would do
I'm
both.
I'm blaming the deer.
I would do both.
Yeah.
I would do both. Yeah, you've got nothing to lose by doing both. And you can always take cuttings. You know, early spring, late winter, early spring, you can take cuttings from whatever is in the container, just like TJ did, put them in some water and get roots on them, and then you can plant them outside, and that'll be the end of having to buy them from year to year.
That's a good idea. Yeah, no, I was like, shocked at how many things. The real hardy stuff is back, like the fig tree. The crepe myrtles are tremendous. But I did lose some azaleas, so I had to go put new ones in. And I was watering. I watered like crazy. But I see one of my neighbors has a rhododendron that just died. Must have been all that heat.
Yeah, it was all that heat. I had two rose bushes by the mailbox that died just because it was just so hot out there by the blacktop. Didn't matter how much
water. What do they do
in
Florida? It's a different varieties there, huh? Because they have more heat than we do.
They have varieties that are, you know, suited for the hotter weather.
They had more rain than we did, too.
Yeah, that too.
They do. They do. All right, so then I'm going to take your advice, and that's what I'm going to do. Can Andy give me the address so I...
Okay, we'll put you on hold, and then Andy will talk to you, okay?
All right, I will. Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you, Sue. Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, do we need to take a break?
No.
We're going to talk to Bob from Piscataway. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Peggy. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much. Same to you. What's up?
And happy Mother's Day to everybody in your audience. Hello, Reich, and hello, TJ. A few weeks ago, I mentioned to you that we had some kind of plants growing in our yard that one of my friends had given me. We didn't know what they were. Well, they finally bloomed, and they're irises.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're really, really pretty. They're large purple irises, and there are a lot of them, and they're blooming like crazy. So just wanted to give you an update on that.
Well, my irises are blooming as well. So, interesting, my Siberian irises, which usually bloom sooner, seem to be blooming at the same time. But irises, we're in that in-between time of year, the tweeners. Irises, peonies, alliums, they're all blooming now. They bloom after the classic spring flowering bulbs, your tulips and daffodils and hyacinths, and they bloom before the annuals really get a foothold, and they're such an important part of having a continuous flow of flowers in the spring. So enjoy them.
Yeah, it's neat, and the peonies are blooming now too, which is pretty cool. We created an area where we have now a berry garden area, and I want to put something down on the ground to prevent weeds from growing. In the past, I have bought from one of the big box stores a plastic bag full of hay or straw that I thought it says it doesn't seed, and I thought it would be a good ground cover. Well, the last time I applied it, I got seeds from it, and I got a lot of whatever it is growing in my garden. So I had to pull all the roots of all those things out. I'm going to go probably to a feed store this weekend. What do I buy? Do I buy hay, straw? What do I get for that kind of ground cover?
You mean as sort of a mulch sort of a thing?
Yeah, as sort of a mulch, right.
Well, if you use hay or straw, hay is going to be worse, so you don't want hay, because hay has all the grains in it to feed whoever it is they're feeding, because that's where all the nutrients are. So you definitely don't want hay. Straw is better, but even with straw, you're going to get some weed seeds, right? What do you...
Yeah, straw is obviously better than hay, because hay seed is going to come along with it. Straw, in theory, should be perfectly clean, but we all know that you get weeds in your yard, we get weeds in our field, even though we do the best to keep it out. But straw is much better, and if you're getting weeds, you got to make it thick. Don't get cheap on the straw. Put down a good 4 to 6 inches anyway. And
And
if you're a long-time listener of The Garden Show, Peggy would tell you about newspaper, soaking it in water overnight and laying it down thick. How many pages? Newspapers. I don't know how many pages are newspaper anymore. But you want to lay it down, not in one page at a time. But
no, you want to lay it down pretty
10
thick.
Pages
yeah.
thick, but wet.
Right, like a section.
Yeah, wet it first in the bucket, then lay it down, and that'll keep anything that's below that newspaper from coming up. But straw will do the same thing. You got to put it on thick.
Okay, here's a tip. Old straw. Old straw works better. So if you, here's just an idea. You get yourself a few bales of straw, and you keep them around. You could even plant your tomatoes in them, because that actually works. You can grow tomato plants in straw. And you just keep them there. And then next year, when they've aged and started to rot, and inside the seeds have been cooked, old straw has much less weeds seeds viable than fresh straw.
Okay. Okay.
So you can.
So I'd like the newspaper idea. I get the newspaper, so I have a lot of newspapers to recycle this week. So that's a good idea. I'll start that first, and then I mean I had saved two huge contractor bags of leaves from the fall, but they decomposed a lot over the winter. I wasn't expecting that, but I still have a lot of those. So maybe I could just do the newspaper and the leaves thing for now, and then maybe buy straw for next year.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, and I think you know the leaves are more attractive than the newspaper. So if you put the newspaper down and then cover it with the partially decomposed leaves, that you'll be in pretty good shape.
Yep, that sounds good. And can Nancy ask you a question while we're on the phone?
Of course she can.
Okay, here she is. Have a good week, Peggy.
You too.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Nancy.
He pushed me on here, but. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Same to you.
And what he wanted me to tell you is from the strawberry patch that we have, I ate my first strawberry a couple of days ago. Yeah, and it was very red and very sweet, and there's like a gazillion of them growing. It's like, I think it's going to be a good year for them. It was great last year also, but.
So then it is absolutely possible if you're up in Piscataway and you're already harvesting your first strawberries that Central Jersey farmers, with a little encouragement with row cover or some kind of insulation, may be harvesting strawberries right now. So there you go.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. Yeah, and that was all.
That was it? Well, you enjoy those strawberries, and I think we have some shared texts that we need to address, so we'll do that after the show. And you're coming on the 27th, right?
Yep, for sure. Okay. And I think some of my kids, my sons, are coming, too. So.
Really?
Yeah, my eldest son, Rob, and his wife, and my granddaughter. So, yeah.
And is Kelly?
It's a family affair.
Is Kelly coming?
I think so.
Oh, yay! That'll be great. Okay, I'm looking forward to that. So thanks for sharing.
Thanks. Okay, take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right, so do we need to take a break now? No, we're still going? Okay, so anybody else on the line?
Let's go back to this, unless you had something.
I want to give the phone number, guys. 908-448-0951. I need people to call. These guys are ganging up on me.
What do you need people for? You got two active charming members of the farming community.
Charming, handsome, accomplished members of the farming community.
Ooh, it's getting thick in here.
This next discussion you started, straw, old straw. Now, I'll bounce this off of Wright because he knows, and I know you know, Mom. What do you mean old straw? Do you mean old long straw or do you mean old short straw? Because there's wheat straw, then there's rye straw, there's combine straw. So what sort of specifics are you talking about?
It really
about?
Doesn't matter, but I think what Peggy is getting to is that you leave the straw outside so it kind of starts to decompose.
Right.
And when it decomposes, it gets hot and it kills any weed seeds that may have been left in behind it. Then when you go to break it up to use it for mulch like Bob we were talking about using – it's not as easy as when it's fresh, new straw, which is light and fluffy and pretty. The old straw works like those newspapers because it's going to come out thick and heavy and packed down. So if you're going to – don't call it old straw because you kept it in the garage for a year. It's got to be out in the environment.
It's got to be exposed. And we made the discovery years ago.
But wheat or rye or oats or barley doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Straw is straw. Short or long.
Once it begins to decompose, there's really – it kind of – nullifies the differences because it's all beginning to decompose. But years ago, one of the directions that I went in is I managed a medicinal herb company for 5 years, and we grew all kinds of weird stuff. I had farmers all over the state of New Jersey that were growing different kinds of what we would think of in many cases as weeds, but that were discovered to have medicinal properties.
A weed is a plant that you didn't want there.
That's correct. And now suddenly they were worth big money, so everybody wanted them. And we were growing some things that we were using straw as a mulch. And it was this one thing. It was we were growing it in shade. There were actually netting over it because it was a shade plant. And we were mulching the beds, and we had some fresh straw and some old straw. And the difference was phenomenal as far as weed control. The kept generating new weeds from the fresh straw, and the old straw was almost perfect. So old straw works really well because it has basically cooked all the seeds in.
So stick it in the corner of your yard for a year.
Yeah.
Let the moisture do its thing, and then...
Or you could even do something fun with it. You know, if you want to set it up in the yard and...
For archery.
You could do archery. That would, but it's not what I was thinking, but you could do archery. But you could also just have it as seeding. You know, if you're having a party, get a few, you know, have them. We used to get them. Remember, we would sell pumpkins?
Yes.
And we would do a display of all different levels of bales of straw and have all the pumpkins on them. And we had a little can out there, and people would come and buy the pumpkins and put the money in the can. And nobody ever stole the money, which I thought was pretty good.
Our bales during pumpkin season sit behind an old baler hooked up to a tractor, and they have arms and legs sticking out of them for Halloween time. So that's what we do with our bales that we leave outside. They're decoration, and the kids go sit there with, you know, arms sticking out.
That's farming accidents are real funny to you.
Yes. Well, it's also all in jest, but, you know, Halloween.
Okay. So, but those bales of straw have value because they make better mulch.
They do. They go right in the pile when we're done.
So. Hey, you know, I'm jumping around here just a little bit. Because we started the show, we were talking about, you know, frost on the fruit trees and so on. This, what's today? Today is the
14th.
Today is the 14th. And frost date for Central Jersey is?
May 15th.
May 15th. But we're pretty safe, aren't we? So after 12 o'clock, people can go plant their tomato plants?
I would say last week people were asking what if they could plant next weekend. And I said, let's check the 10-day forecast when we get to next weekend, which is now. And I think, yeah, the weather is predicted to be pretty much on the warm side, so I think we'll be good.
Mine are in. All 100 of them. I got a little overzealous. There's 100 of them right out front of the house. Hit them with a little fertilizer, another couple days, fertilizer again. And then, look at me starting another argument, I will have tomatoes over the summer in time for sauce and gravy, because there is a difference
we're not going there
between
today.
Sauce and gravy.
Well, we have determined that the difference between sauce and gravy is sauce.
We?
Yes, we.
Who we?
Me and my listening audience that have had
society,
many.
Right?
Yeah.
Society.
I'm going to have a bill come before this legislature. We're going to settle this. We got a pork roll thing and we got this gravy thing. We're going to settle it.
Now we're going off the rails. It is pork roll.
There's also the whole is tomato a fruit or vegetable thing, which infuriates me because it's really both, but there is still that argument going on. But a sauce is when it's made without meat, and a gravy is made when you put meat in it. That's what's been determined.
You distracted me there, DJ. But the idea that it's okay to plant now, but if you wait a day or two, that's fine too, because we need the soil to warm up. It's great that the air is warm, but those plants, if you plant them in cold soil, they're going to kind of sit there. So if you can't get it done today, that's fine. Wait a day or two. We've got some good weather ahead that'll keep warming up the soil, which will help those baby plants that you're putting in.
When one of the things about tomato plants that I think is important to mention, since people will be planting their tomatoes any minute, any day, you know, very soon, if your tomatoes are leggy, then what you need to do, it's very important that you start out with a fairly robust plant. So if your tomatoes are a little leggy, what I want you to do is to dig a really deep hole. Now, you can only do this with tomatoes. You can't do it with anything else, but you can take the bottom leaves off, and you can plant them quite deep. Most things will rot. Tomatoes really do that, but tomatoes send out extra roots. So you can plant your tomatoes really deep, and then that'll give them a chance to send out more roots, be stronger, and then what's above ground can get tougher so that it's not already, you know, falling over because it's gotten a little leggy. So keep that in mind. And also fertilize before you put them in the ground. Mix it in. Don't put it in the hole. Make sure you mix it in. You don't want to burn the roots. But yes, you can plant your tomatoes very deep. And also, if you are using stakes, you want to put your stakes in the ground at the same time as planting, because if the plants start to get established and you go to shove a stake in the ground, you'll be ripping the roots.
Or not even the roots. You're going to damage the plants.
Yeah.
So it's easy to do it.
So you want to do that all at the same time.
Or cages, if you're doing the cages, tomato cages, whatever way you want to...
I'm trying something different this year with some of my tomatoes. I have several metal headboards firmly installed in the vegetable garden.
Like flower beds?
Yes, like flower beds, yes.
They're very cute.
But I use them.
How many?
Well, the entire garden is, the fence around the garden is made of metal headboards. But in the garden itself, I have a couple established, planted in there.
And one of these headboards, not to cut you off, came from a horse friend of mine all the way from Maryland to sit in the vegetable garden bed.
Yeah.
So there's a Maryland headboard. There's a probably a South Jersey headboard in there. I don't know where you found these, but weren't you growing peas on them? I thought you yes. can only get peas and beans to train to climb. You're going to have tomatoes trained to climb headboards.
Well, okay. So the peas are growing up along the headboards now, and they're a good over 2 feet high. They'll be starting to produce flowers soon, and they grow up the headboards. But I also put a page wire fence, small page wire fence around the base so that they have something to get started on, and mm-hmm. then they climb on the headboards. But here's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to plant 3 tomato plants for each of the 2 headboards, and then I'm going to use string to weave in and out and to hold them, attach
you
them.
You train them.
I'm going to train them to the headboards. The headboards are there permanently. As a healthy crop rotation, last year I did have peas growing up them. But this year I don't want peas because they're growing along the side now because I didn't grow peas on the side last year. Very important to rotate your crops.
Help me on this. I'm okay. talking with my hands. People can't see this at home. Help me with this. I ruined the pronunciation. When you grow vertically, like in the small yards in New Orleans, espalier?
Espalier.
I said it right.
Yes, espalier.
All right. I thought I'd been embarrassing myself for a while.
No, espalier.
So you're basically growing tomatoes upright in the form of espalier.
Not quite. Espalier is when...
But it's space-saving, yes?
Well, it is space-saving, but espalier is... The purpose of an espalier originally, so this would be sort of like a modified espalier, is to grow in the same plane as the surface that you're growing up against. And the art of espalier was established probably in Europe a long time ago to be able to grow fruit trees in a borderline climate so that you would espalier them up against a wall so that they wouldn't get as much wind and the wall behind them would absorb some heat.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It would protect them heat from the building.
So, and from both, and the fact that they were flat, they wouldn't get as much wind damage. So what I'm doing and what I've done with a number of things is sort of what I consider a modified espalier. I don't attach anything to the wall behind it, but I cut off the branches that are growing out or towards the wall. So it's relatively flat. And that's more for space saving. With the tomatoes, I will prune them slightly, but I still want them to be more bush-like. So I will weave the cord on the outside, okay. then into the headboard, then back out again, and I'll weave it so that they are held up and supported.
Supported up that way. Okay,
yes.
I gotcha.
Okay.
I'm glad I pronounced it right.
You did. You did a good job. All right, so we will be back right after this.
This is the All-New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
Last week, we had the supreme honor of Mike from Mike's Country Market Nursery and Landscaping give us a call in. We got to chat with him. And I love that place. Both aspects, because it's a combo. It has this great little deli out front with, like, fabulous sandwiches. I've had 3 or 4 since we were first introduced, and I can't tell you which one was best because they're all really, really good. But the back is a great little nursery, and he called to tell us that in the greenhouses, the ginormous passion vine that covers the ceiling in the front part of the greenhouse was blooming. So if you haven't gone to see it yet, you need to get over there and see that because it is the biggest passion vine I've ever seen, and it is quite spectacular. So you can go. You can get yourself a sandwich, wander around. He's got nursery stock on the outside. He has greenhouse material. He has a really pretty good selection of succulents and houseplants, which is fun. But then you walk through that part. That's the warmer part of the greenhouse. That's where he has the passion vine. And then you go to the next greenhouse, and that's where he has all the vegetable plants and annual flowers and lots of different kinds of herbs. And I picked up three perennials from him that I was really intrigued by, a variegated Siberian iris, and two different centaureas, which is, I don't know the common name for that one, but it has a really pretty flower. The first one was all purple, and then I went back the next week, and he had one that was purple and white, so I planted them together. They look great. So they are famous for their sandwiches, and one is called the Sloppy Joe Hot Mess, which sounds really interesting. Sounds like something these farmer boys would be interested in trying. And they are located at 200 Riva Avenue, right off of Milltown Road, on the East Brunswick-Milltown border. That's 200 Riva Avenue in Milltown, and their number is 732-821-7144. And again, you can find all that contact information about all of my sponsors, including Mike's Country Market Nursery and Landscaping, on my website, peggygarden.com.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of WOLD 95.1 and the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells. Thrivent believes money is a tool, not a goal. Financial representative Amy Nichols will work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter most to you, like family and giving back. Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456, or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent.com/amy-nichols. Once again, Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456, or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols, and that is spelled N-I-C-H-O-L-S.
Ladies and gentlemen, without promotion, something terrible happened. Nothing. We need Peggy and Jordan on the air for another 34 years, and you can help us make that happen. It's simple. Tell the folks you know to listen in every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon, and get the word out that The Garden Show is looking for sponsors. Call 732-991-5140 to learn more.
W-O-L-D. Now, back to more of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballister Howells, and I have two guests today. My son, TJ, was a surprise guest, and Rike Sudam is here.
Not so much a surprise.
Rike Sudam, he is the State of New Jersey Farm Bureau President.
Not
Rike
anymore.
Sudam. You'll always be president of the Farm Bureau. Former president.
Well, yeah, well once you're president, you're always president. Yes.
Oh.
Mr. President.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, it was a real treat to have you as president for that time. In Farm Bureau, you know, so. Oh,
thank you. I did the best I could, trying to promote the industry and steer things in the right direction and effectuate, here's the way I practiced it, effectuate positive change in the legislature to benefit.
Effectuate?
Yeah. See, pretty good, huh?
Pretty good.
Public,
I'd say so.
Public school and everything. Effectuate positive change for agriculture in the state of New Jersey.
Let's think about this. I guess it was the back half of your term. It was in the middle of a world pandemic, and you were still out there campaigning with Secretary Fisher. We had a great visit from you guys out at our farm.
People still
and
have
support,
to eat, even if
you know?
It's a pandemic.
Yeah.
But it was great. You were out there with the Jersey Fresh campaign, and I just think it was a wonderful job done by you and everybody involved.
Well, thank you very much. So did we we're done with the pork roll thing. Did we settle –
We settled sauce and gravy.
Yes. We did?
Yeah, we did.
What did I miss?
Sauce is sauce. Gravy
is the same thing with meat in it.
All right, I'll take it.
You'll take that? Okay.
Yeah, because we've been arguing this for years. I'm happy to settle it.
Yes. And the pork roll versus Taylor Ham thing. I don't know that we'll ever resolve that, but as a family, and since my husband went to school with Mr. Case, we fall on the...
Well, I'm with you, because if you're from Jersey...
Yes.
And I'm from Jersey. Not New Jersey, I'm from Jersey. Or even if you're from South Jersey, which is a separate place,
by the way.
It is
entirely different world.
Entirely different. We say pork roll.
Yes.
If you're from away, you say Taylor Ham.
Yeah, and if you're a real professional, you pick up a phone, you call the deli or the bagel store, and you say P-E-C-S-P-K. Pork roll, egg and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup.
Yes.
In that order.
Yes.
And if you want to be, if you're a little extra hungry, you throw a hash brown on there, or you throw some bacon on there. And, you know, but yeah, P-E-C-S-P-K.
Okay, then the third thing is a tomato, a fruit, or a vegetable.
That's that's going to go on till the end of time.
No, that's really a stupid thing.
Well, I was taught on the garden show.
Yes.
Depending on where it's served during the meal.
That is absolutely true, that a vegetable is when it's served with the principal part of the meal. But a vegetable is entirely a social term. It could be a vegetable or not a vegetable, but it's always a fruit.
It's the fruit of the plant.
It's the fruit of the plant. The fruit is a biological term that happens when inside the flower, the ovum gets fertilized with a pollen, and then the ovary around the fruit, around the ovum, develops and grows to protect the developing seed. That is a fruit, and that is a tomato. It also is a cucumber. It's also an apple. Believe it or not, it's not a strawberry. It's not a strawberry.
There's an exception?
There is to everyone. A strawberry...
I thought we were getting out of this.
A strawberry, you know the little brown bumpy things?
Yeah.
Those are the fruits.
I thought those were the seeds on the outside.
So did I.
There is a casing around them. And inside the casing is the seeds.
But it's the casing and the seed that make the fruit.
Right. And
so what's the red tasty part?
It actually comes from what's the part of the flower that's called the receptacle. It's where all the flower petals attach.
It's going to be a quiz.
So now the green part, foliage on the end, is probably not even the stem. That's probably a lie, too.
Well, that's part of the receptacle. It's
okay,
like, when you in the center of a flower, when there's all this, like a little brown bumpy thing, that's what it develops from. The center, the receptacle,
okay,
everything attaches.
So strawberry is not a vegetable.
I suppose if you had vegetable, if you served it with some, I can't imagine that you would serve it with the main part of the meal, but that's the idea.
No, but you said at the beginning, though, you had me. You said that the seed and the thing around it is the fruit.
The fruit.
What's the red delicious part?
And that's not the fruit part. It's part of the whole thing, but it's actually called a receptacle. It's a really weird kind of
Here we go,
fruit
the things
thing.
You learn on the garden
yeah,
show.
It's so
not,
it's really just a vessel for these little brown bumpy things
it's a
that
carrier.
We thought were the seeds.
Well,
that aren't even the seeds.
No, they are the seeds.
Okay, they are the seeds.
They are the seeds, but they're inside the tiny little hard fruit. When I did research on strawberries back when I was in graduate school, I worked for Dr. Jelenkovich, who's no longer there, I'm sure. But he did research on strawberries for years, and he had me working on strawberries for him. Actually, what he had me doing was pretty cool. I was extracting the DNA and getting it into a vial. But in order to get the DNA from the seeds, you had to literally crush the seeds in order to get the seed out of the little brown coating. You can't just plant them. They won't develop. You have to crush
them.
You
got to open it.
Yeah, you have to open it.
Did
and
not
the
know
seed
that.
Is
you
inside.
Would think it would just...
So what do? You literally could take, like, I guess, a mortar and pestle.
That's exactly what we did.
Get
to get
out.
The seeds out of the center.
And then what do? You dry that once you have this broken down? How do you...
Well, the whole DNA extraction was this long, complicated process. And the DNA comes out as sort of clear, wormy-like material. But you had, in order to get to the seed, you had to crush the outer coating that was technically the fruit.
Okay.
All right, do we have a caller?
Enlightening.
Chris from Scotch Plains. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Peggy. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Peggy, I have a couple of follow-up questions. Last week I called you. I was asking about removing Canada thistle and some planting beds. So I followed both suggestions. One was digging the thistle up. That was like a real laborious task. I had to go through the bed about three times to find all the little roots, and not convinced that I got them all, but I made a big start with it. The other question was, if I use Roundup to spray on the other bed, after the plants are killed, could I still compost the dead thistles, or would it be recommended to throw them away? I just like to throw away organic material if I can.
Well, I think that you can compost it. It doesn't have a long half-life. It will dissipate. If you're going to compost it, it's going to take a minimum of 6 months, probably more like a year at least, before it composts enough to use it as a soil amendment. And I'm quite certain that at that point, the Roundup will have decomposed and gone away, undetectable. I think you'll be okay. And Reich, who uses that way more than me, you agree, right?
Yeah, absolutely. After a week or 10 days, the Roundup will have dissipated in the plant material where it won't be a problem. But in thistle, you can go back to that. That's one of those dicots we started the show with. You can handle that without hurting the grasses or some of the other plant material by using 2,4-D, which is the primary chemical component in that Weed Be Gone. Ortho, it's the only brand name I have in my head. But there are others. But if you look at the label for broadleaf weed killers, it'll take care of thistle.
Yes, okay. It will. But I also, where is your thistle growing and what kind of a bed?
So these are in edible beds, raised beds for vegetables. That's why I was veering toward the Roundup instead of the 2,4-D.
And that makes sense. And you should continue to do that. But if it's growing in your lawn area, then you can use the 2,4-D.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I say a few other things?
Sure. Go for it.
Yeah. I also called last week about moving rhododendron plants from a planting bed. What I wound up doing, I sort of like up-potted them. I took them out of the planting bed, put them in larger plastic nursery containers, and I'm just going to hold them for the time. But at this point, they're looking good. No signs of shock. The flowers are still on. They're still blooming. So that was successful. I was happy that worked. And then the other thing, I called you a number of weeks ago about the ideal time to start tomato seeds. What I did this year was to start them on April the 1st. And at this point, you know, admittedly, it's a mild spring, but they're pretty much about where I want them to be. So in this case, they were growing for about 6 weeks, and they seem to be at a good size. I was wondering if you or your callers had any other ideas about seed starting time.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you should say that because it really, if you read the seed packs, you will observe that some say 8 to 10 weeks and some say 6 to 8, and it depends on the variety. So you should use that as a guide, and I generally go for the middle, whatever it is.
Okay.
If it says 6 to 8, I go for 7. And there's some flexibility. As Reich said earlier, you know, if you get them in today, that's great. But if the ground isn't warm, they're not going to do much growing. So if you get them in a few days when the ground is dry, is a little warmer, they'll catch up. So there's this kind of, you know, gray period at this time of year that's kind of weather dependent. But in general, if you get them in now, you'll be okay. If you get them in next week, they'll be okay because they'll catch up a little bit. So you don't want to wait too much. It's better if you get them in before the beginning of June. But you know what? If you even delay some planting until even the middle of June, you'll just it'll keep the plants going a little later in the fall. So there is flexibility. Okay?
Okay. And I just have one happy surprise story. I planted some hardy kiwis a number of years ago, the Arctic Beauty type. The male died, and the female is huge. It's about 8 or 9 feet tall. So I couldn't pollinate the plants with the dead male, so I bought another plant that happened to have flowers on it. I was reading about pollinating flowers with Q-tips, and I never got around to the Q-tips, but the bees beat me to it. So there's one maybe 18-inch tall male with the flowers actually seem to have pollinated a whole lot of different flowers on the female vine. So we haven't gotten the kiwis yet, certainly, but it looks like we're off to a start anyhow.
Well, you only need one rooster for 26 hens.
Well, this was a little rooster that's good as I guess, but I just got lucky that it worked.
But that's the way it works. You only need one male holly in the whole neighborhood. It's just the way it is. I'm not sure what Mother Nature was thinking when she came up with that plan, but it is what it is. So you enjoy that. Let me know when you get the kiwis, okay?
Thank you. All right, happy Mother's Day. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye now. All right, we'll be back after this.
More of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's P-E-G-I garden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
Andrew Allegro and his elite surveillance crew are the folks to trust when it comes to top-notch professional installation of a surveillance system that will keep you connected to what's happening 24 hours a day. And that's the truth. Today, I'm not a super big technology person. I don't have all that fancy stuff in the house. But a surveillance system, it just makes such good sense. You want to feel safe. And you don't know who's going to be coming up to your door. And all of the things that you hear, having a system that makes you feel safe, that you can connect to your house so that you know what's going on, and even just having the cameras visible on the outside of your home can deter anybody who's thinking about doing something that maybe they shouldn't be doing or doing any kind of harm, because they'll see it and they'll move on and they'll know that they'll just very simply get caught. So you can call Elite Surveillance at 732-702-2434. That's 732-702-2434. And if you mention the all-new Garden Show, you'll receive a 10% discount on your same-day installation. So that would be useful. But I definitely think that having one of these to protect your home, your kids, your yard, your pets, and just so that when you're in your house, you feel safe. Most of the time, you feel fine. But when you hear that creepy noise, you want to know that you can figure out what it is without putting yourself in danger. So call Andrew Allegro. And Elite Surveillance is a proud founding sponsor of the All New Garden Show on 95.1 WOLD.
Your home is your greatest investment. When it comes time to attend to your most pressing concerns, call Rest Assured Restored at 732-781-8857. Whether it's exterior or interior painting, power washing, bathroom remodeling, cleaning out the garage or attic, rest assured you found the help you need. Do you have water or mold damage? Rest assured, these pros will assist you. In fact, if there's any home improvement you're thinking of, call the owner, Kelly, for a free estimate. The number, 732-781-8857. And find out more at restassuredrestored.com. And if you mention you heard about Kelly and his team on the All New Garden Show, you receive a 10% discount on the services they provide. It's spring, and what are the chances you'll be hearing this sound? There's no need to pull your shoulder out of your socket. Gary is the small engine specialist, and he's your one stop for lawnmower repair and maintenance. Gary offers pickup and delivery and can diagnose most issues right there at your home. And whether it's your lawnmower, edger, blower, power washer, generator, or snowblower, Gary's the man to call. If you own a machine and it takes gasoline, Gary the small engine specialist can fix it. Call 917-807-3901. Be sure to mention the All New Garden Show to receive lawnmower blade sharpening at no extra charge with every repair. That's Gary, the small engine specialist. 917-807-3901.
WOLD. You're listening to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester-Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. couple things I want to say before we wrap up at the top of the hour. You said you have mushrooms now?
Yes.
Where do you have these mushrooms? You haven't told anybody where you are on the show today.
Well, we've been doing a lot of healthy, I guess, discussing. We'll call it, we've had a lot of healthy discussions today, so I don't think we've had too much
debates. Okay,
time for that. But we, yes, I guess manage or work with or work for Chip Katona, who has a beautiful farm stand down in Burlington County, Katona Family Farm Market, run by him and his wife Donna. And we have another helper to run the store for sales throughout the day. And then during the week, we take care of wholesale and the other five or six different things we have going on at once. But Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, you could stop out at our retail farm market where we sell Jersey Fresh product. And now we do stock mushrooms in our store.
I'm very excited. You know, it's Mother's Day.
Yes.
Which is why you're here. You're my surprise guest for Mother's Day. But I have requested from Daddy that we just have steaks and salad and tomatoes and potatoes in the microwave. Easy peasy. But I love fried mushrooms cut up, sliced with onions, and served on top of the steak. Oh, I love that.
Classic.
Yes, it's classic. So thank you. I know you said you brought me some, so I will definitely be doing that. But the other thing I really want to say is I'm so excited. I am leaving from here to go to Barton Nursery, and I am picking up a significant weeping Siberian pea shrub. As I see the dead faces on, no expression. Okay, so I have been searching
for... Good for you, Peg. Yeah, we're happy for you. All of us, aren't we here, guys? We're happy.
Oh, shrub.
She's got her pea shrub. Happy.
Okay, weeping. There was one at Blooming Acres. It was near the back porch. It is one of my...
The giant green bee tree, or is that a different one?
That's a different. It gets beautiful yellow flowers in the spring. It is a very small tree. It has a weeping habit. It gets yellow flowers followed by wonderful foliage that is round like pea plants, very attractive foliage that turns bright yellow in the fall, in the autumn, and it gets these little pods on it that when they're young are supposedly edible because it is actually in the pea family, but you can harvest them dry and use them as chicken feed.
You got to give me logistics. Where they were by the back porch?
They were by up against. You know how we had all those Leyland cypresses up against the garage?
Yes.
And it was in front of that.
On that length or near the?
On that length, near the door that goes into the garage.
Oh, the breezeway door. It would be, I guess, technically.
Yes. So, yes. So that's where it was, and of course, it burned with the fire.
So, Peggy, this sounds really cool.
It is
the
very
weeping
cool.
Siberian pea shrub.
Right.
So it's hardy in zone 7 where we are.
Up to zone 2.
Oh, that's right. I think you mentioned that 2 weeks ago. But how come we don't hear much about these?
I don't know. I went to probably 15 different nurseries, and almost no one knew what I was talking about. And I went to Barton Nursery last year and asked them, and they said they didn't have it. And then I went to Barton Nursery 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, and they said they didn't have it. And then last Sunday, right before I got here, I got a text saying they found it. It was one plant in a field in Cranberry where they raise trees, where they raise plant material, and they dug it for me. And
it's like an orphan.
It's like an orphan. So I'm very excited. This is my Mother's Day present from Tommy, from my
husband.
Orphan
tree is going to a good home.
It's going to
sure
a good
home. Is it a maintenance issue why these aren't common?
I have no idea. It sounds like
it's hardy in multiple areas.
And perfect for like condos or townhouses. It stays
low maintenance.
I don't know why it's not more
What's
popular.
Not to love?
I love low maintenance.
Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today and making my Mother's Day start off very special. I hope you guys have a great Mother's Day. I hope I see you at Tiny Farm later. Sean, happy Mother's Day. Thanks for pushing my buttons.
Always.
And I will be here next week, same time, same place. Until then, you all have a good one. Bye-bye.
Tune in to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells, Sunday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon on 95.1 WOLD, Central Jersey's music and information station. Missed a show? You can listen to past shows on demand anytime at WOLDradio.com.